Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Gary Bald, Executive Assistant Director of the National Security Branch at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Al. How are you today?
And joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Richard Scott. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Al.
Gary, most of our listeners will be familiar with the Federal Bureau of Investigation from the news and the movies. Can you tell us a little bit about the history and mission of the FBI?
Sure. The creation of what would become the FBI began on July 26 in 1908 with the establishment of a small special agent force under Attorney General Bonaparte. And the purpose of this group was to complement the jurisdiction of the state and local law enforcement agencies in the country. In the United States, as you know, each state passes its own laws, but their power to investigate criminal activity generally stops at their borders. And as society became more mobile, and as did its criminal activity with the advent of the automobile and prohibition, bank robbers and bootleggers and kidnappers would cross state lines to elude capture. So the United States government decided to address this in a number of ways, including forming what would become the FBI to close the seams in our state structure of law enforcement. And they also passed federal laws and issued executive orders that gave the FBI authority and jurisdiction to address national security and law enforcement issues of national concern. And over time, this has included the passage of laws that extended jurisdiction of the FBI involving, for example, violent crime, involving the activities of the gangsters in the 1930s, subversion by communists in the 1930s, Soviet intelligence threats of the 1940s, civil rights violations in the 1960s, organized crime, the mafia, for example, in the 1970s, drug trafficking of the Colombian cartels in the 1980s, and then counterterrorism later on in the 1980s. So generally, our jurisdiction involves responsibility for about 300 federal crimes, criminal statutes, and executive mandates, and continues to be focused on either closing law enforcement seams between the states or criminal and intelligence issues with national or global implications. Our mission is to protect and defend the United States against terrorism and foreign intelligence threats and to uphold and enforce the criminal laws of the United States. We also provide leadership and criminal justice services to federal, state, municipal, and even international agencies and partners. And we divide our and prioritize our responsibilities into investigative programs, and we currently rank them as counterterrorism as our number one, counterintelligence number two, and then they follow with cyber crimes, public corruption, civil rights, transnational or national criminal organizations, major white-collar crime, and significant violent crime matters.
Gary, that's certainly a long and a broadening mission of the FBI over time. We understand that you have a new role at the FBI. Can you tell us about your responsibilities as the Executive Assistant Director in the National Security Branch?
Sure, Al. To appreciate the role that we have in the National Security Branch, it may help to look back briefly to the 1960s and 1970s. And during that time, there were a few guidelines governing United States intelligence activities. And this was a difficult time in our history with civil rights abuses becoming pronounced and Vietnam protests becoming more widespread. And members of the intelligence community, including the FBI, were directed by the president to determine if war protests were being influenced by communists and if civil rights activists were under similar influence. And so in response, the intelligence community began to collect intelligence on protesters and civil rights activists. This activity raised understandable concerns and led the Congress to hold hearings by what was called the Church Committee, which prompted the president to issue executive orders governing intelligence community activities. Legal and policy interpretations of those executive orders led to requirements that the FBI segregate its intelligence and its law enforcement investigations and created a seam in our national intelligence awareness. The FBI literally could not share information that was gleaned by its national security investigators with its own law enforcement investigators or vice versa, and certainly were precluded from sharing as widely as we needed to with state and local law enforcement. And 9/11 focused the United States government's attention on this problem, and to eliminate the seams that arose from the 1970s to about 2001, Congress passed the Patriot Act, which permitted the sharing, actually required the sharing of information between the intelligence community and law enforcement community. And this led to procedural and guidelines changes that permitted the FBI to begin to implement sweeping changes in the way we do business. And in June of 2005, the president directed the attorney general to create a national security branch within the FBI. And this was based on a recommendation by the Weapons of Mass Destruction Commission that the FBI consolidate its counterterrorism, counterintelligence, and intelligence programs under a single executive who is appointed by the FBI director, approved by the Attorney General with the concurrence of the Director of National Intelligence. And this is a logical and practical next step in the FBI's transformation of its national security mission. And we kicked off the National Security Branch, and I assumed the leadership role of the National Security Branch on September the 12th of this year. And as head of the NSB, I have principal oversight for the FBI's worldwide counterterrorism and counterintelligence operations, consistent with the guidance of both the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence. I'm also responsible for the development of our national security workforce and FBI-wide intelligence functions, including analysts and reporting, and I have accountability for the execution of the FBI's national security budget.
Gary, you touched upon national security as well as counterterrorism and counterintelligence. Can you tell us about counterterrorism and counterintelligence divisions within the FBI? What are the differences between these two activities? And more importantly, what is the difference between other agencies that also carry out counterterrorism and counterintelligence activities, such as the CIA and the State Department?
Well, Al, the Counterterrorism Division is responsible for countering the activities of terrorists who threaten the United States or our partners, and this includes their efforts to obtain or deploy weapons of mass destruction. Our counterterrorism efforts are worldwide, and in the United States, we lead counterterrorism disruption and investigative efforts through our 103 joint terrorism task forces, which are located around the country. We also carry out this responsibility in complete partnership with our over 17,000 police departments, in addition to our other federal partners, in particular the CIA and the Department of Homeland Security. Outside the United States, we support the efforts of other United States government components and are actively involved with them in the counterterrorism mission. We're also engaged with our international partners to develop and exploit terrorism information that relates to the United States. The Counterintelligence Division is responsible for countering the intelligence activities of foreign intelligence services acting in the United States to penetrate our intelligence community, our government agencies, and contractors, and to compromise critical national assets, and also to acquire weapons of mass destruction technology. United States government agencies generally cooperate well in the areas of terrorism and counterintelligence, and you mentioned two of our key partners, the CIA and Department of State. We work very closely with the CIA in support of activities of the Joint Terrorism Task Forces, and the CIA leads counterterrorism intelligence collection outside of the United States. Work closely with them in these efforts and action their information in the homeland. Department of State plays a very important role in controlling foreign visitors to the United States. We're closely partnered with them. And there are a couple of other agencies I'd mention that are important. Department of Homeland Security, among their other important missions, is responsible for anti-terrorism, which is the hardening of the United States and its vulnerabilities against terrorism, for example, defending our borders and our infrastructure. They're also important partners with us in our counterterrorism mission and participate greatly on our joint terrorism task forces. They bring important investigative capabilities to bear and have teamed with us in the terrorist screening center as well. The Department of Defense also plays an important role in both the counterterrorism and counterintelligence missions that we have in partnership with us. And I probably would be remiss if I didn't mention what I think is our most important partners, and that would be our state and local law enforcement agency partners around the country. Their large numbers and geographic distribution and their local expertise positions them well for being on the front line defense against terrorism. And without their help, frankly, we'd be working at a distinct disadvantage. But I'd say overall the key ingredient in national security matters is our partnerships, and it's critically important that we work as one team against terrorism.
Gary, you started with the FBI in the 1970s serving in the laboratory division and have served for more than 30 years with the agency. You've had a very impressive career. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your previous positions before being appointed the EAD in 2004, and how has your management and leadership style changed over time?
Well, Richard, I've had many and varied positions within the FBI. The field assignments I've had have been in Albany Division, our Philadelphia, Newark, Atlanta, Boston, and Baltimore divisions, as well as headquarters assignments in our Identification Division, our Laboratory, Office of Professional Responsibility Inspection Division, our Criminal Division, and our Counterterrorism Division. And I've had assignments involving virtually all of our investigative and intelligence programs over my 28 years in the Bureau. My management and leadership style has changed over time, largely due to opportunities to learn from many FBI leaders during my career. I think the key to success is to surround yourself with people who complement your background and frankly, that are smarter than you, and then work with them to accomplish organizational goals and help us get smarter in how we go about our daily business.
How will you apply these past experiences to your current position? Has a particular role helped you in your current job?
Well, Richard, that's a really appropriate question. I think it's because of my past broad experience that the director asked me to take responsibility for the National Security Branch. And I'm very fortunate to have an intelligence framework that was mapped out for me by Maureen Baginski when she served as the Executive Assistant Director for the Directorate of Intelligence for 2 years. I've also had the great fortune of having a partner in Philip Mudd, who for 20 years has served as a strong analyst in the Central Intelligence Agency, rising in their ranks to be the second in charge of the Counterterrorism Center. So he had operational experience as well. I've got at my disposal the ideas and the input of many outstanding leaders in the FBI. And with the guidance from the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence, I try and combine that with my understanding of the FBI and how it works to forge our ideas together and concepts of our team and into plans that I believe will produce success for us. And with the director and the deputy director's continuing support and patience, I might add, I'm very optimistic about the direction that we're going in.
What role does the FBI play in combating economic espionage? We will ask FBI Executive Assistant Director Gary Ball to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.